O'Connor bought an automobile. He took his sweetheart for a ride one Sunday. Johnny was parked up in his best Sunday clothes. She nestled close to his side. Things went just dandy till he got down the road. Then something happened to the old machinery. That engine got his goat, off went his hat and coat. Everything needed repair. He'd have to get under, get out and get under, to fix his little machine. He was just dying to cuddle his queen. But every minute, when he'd begin it, he'd have to get under, get out and get under. Then he'd get back at the wheel. A dozen times they'd start to hug and kiss, and then the darned old engine, it would miss. And then he'd have to get under, get out and get under, and fix up his automobile. Millionaire Wilson said to Johnny one day, your little sweetheart don't appreciate you. I have a daughter who is hungry for love. She likes to ride every day. Johnny had visions of a million in gold. He took her riding in his little auto. But every time that he went to say, marry me, 'twas the old story again. He'd have to get under, get out and get under, to fix his little machine. He was just dying to cuddle his queen. But every minute, when he'd begin it, he'd have to get under, get out and get under. Then he'd get back at the wheel. Every time that he would reach for a kiss, it seems a darned old spark plug, it would miss. And then he'd have to get under, get out and get under, and fix up his automobile. He'd have to get under, get out and get under, to fix his little machine. He was just dying to cuddle his queen. But every minute, when he'd begin it, he'd have to get under, get out and get under. Then he'd get back at the wheel. It seems that once she sat down on his knee, and then he lost control, ran right up a tree. And then he had to get under, get out and get under, and fix up his automobile.
Good evening. This is Bernie Golias, and you're listening to the show, The Auto Air. I'm your host, and this is WOBC Oberlin, 91.5 FM, Oberlin College and Community Radio. So, here we are, another week. Thanksgiving is upon us. But we have a good show this evening, and I'll introduce you to our guest. But first of all, The Auto Era is a talk show, and what we're doing here on this hour is we reveal some of the history of Cleveland and Northern Ohio's automotive roots. We occasionally go, break the barriers and extend worldwide. But the purpose of this show is to help expose the accomplishments of what Cleveland and local communities had to offer during the birth of the automotive industry. And we'll discuss some of the significance of those accomplishments that the early local automobile pioneers developed that we now take for granted. And as you know, I always mention a few things about Winton. That's one of my areas of expertise. And since the weather's getting a bit cooler and we're getting some snow on the ground, one of the first was the mail delivery wagon. Back in 1899, Alexander Winton went to the U.S. Post Office and says, I got a better idea than the usual horse and buggy to deliver the mail, and let's give it a try. So during the heavy snowstorm in the winter of 1899, Alexander Winton proved that he can do the same route a horse and buggy did in 6.5 hours, and he did it in about 2. So that's one of the first that he sold the U.S. mail wagon to the post office. So that's one of the first that we talk about, as well as many, many more. But anyway, there was about 115 automobiles built in northern Ohio, northeast Ohio, I should say. When I say northern Ohio, I mean from Columbus and up. And Cleveland alone had over 80 automobiles built in its city. And in the state of Ohio, about 541 were counted. So that's quite a rich area of automotive heritage. But this evening, we have a special guest, George Strum, who is a resident here in Elyria. And he has quite a history of automotive experience. And I'd like to, well, actually, George, he's a president, currently the president of the Antique Automobile Club of America, Ohio region. And he also has a lot of experience. And I'm going to let him give you the breakdown then. So welcome to the auto era, George.
I appreciate the invitation to be on your show. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your re-election to the Board of Trustees, the National Board of Trustees of the Antique Automobile Club of America in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Quite an honor, and it's a pleasure to be working with you. AACA, I might add, is a 60 to 70,000 member strong worldwide organization. It is not just a small group, and it is the pioneer in promoting the interest in and correct restoration of historical vehicles. And it's an organization that I have cherished and been a member of since I just got my 50-year pin, but actually I was a member on and off for 5 years beyond that, starting as a teenager when I was 15. I'm not that old yet, but anyway, the interest was sparked by friends and just a general interest in antique cars. One of my close friends on Princeton Avenue. I was born in Elyria, and I at Elyria Memorial Hospital. And one of my close friends on that street, their grandfather, was a test driver for the Garford Automobile Company. And Garford was started by A.L. Garford in Elyria and occupied what's now the Ridge Tool Plant on Clark Street. They first manufactured parts, but then when Garford built that new plant, they manufactured a complete Garford car and supplied chassis to the Studebaker Company. So they had a wide range of interest. Lorain County was quite a hotbed of automotive innovation, and Garford was in the bicycle business. He had been friends with Colonel Pope, and they had Garford invented the sprung bicycle seat, which they used to have a bicycle gathering at Lorain County Community called Arthur Garford Saved Our Butts. So
and that was, and on all the very expensive models like Winton, they had a Garford seat on it.
Yes. Garford and Pope, who had the Columbia interest, Columbia Bicycles, and even had an interest, the steel company on Mussey Avenue was originally called the Columbia Steel Company. It was a partnership of Garford and Pope. Anyway, Garford had a magnificent home on Washington Avenue in Elyria, and one of my other real passions is the Lorain County Historical Society, and I'm emeritus trustee and president, and was kind of the driver behind acquiring that property, which runs a full city block for the headquarters of the Lorain County Historical Society. And actually, at that time, I acquired a 1907 Garford Londoleil limousine. Margie and I drove to Kansas and brought the car back, and the car had been built for Mrs. Potter Palmer, who owned the Palmer House in Chicago. And we owned that car for 12 years. It's now in the collection of the Crawford Western Reserve Historical Society. It's one of their premier cars and is the symbol of the Studebaker Drivers Club. So it was built right in Elyria and delivered. In fact, I sent the headlights away to a restoration company in Colorado, and a friend of mine was running the mailing room for Ridge Tool, and they put it in their bulletin that those same lights, which had been shipped from that mailing room in 1907, were shipped again. So anyway, the car was I sold the car to Lou Betcher after 12 years. We're the last, Lou's gone now, so that was we're the last private owners of a Garford automobile. Very high quality car, $6,000 car, in a time when a man made 50 cents a day. It was just unbelievable, the amount of money that car cost. But Mrs. Palmer was quite a wealthy person in Chicago, and one of the side stories of that is that this test driver friend of mine, his wife, came to my house and saw that Garford car there and said, let me tell you a story. In 1907, we hadn't taken our honeymoon yet. And she said, a courier came over from the Garford Company with money and tickets on the midnight train, and we accompanied a car to Chicago to deliver to Mrs. Potter Palmer, and here that car sits in your garage 75 years later, or 60 years later, one of Jack's best friends, who had been the test driver for Garford. The test track used to run out East River Street and had a turnaround at the curve out there, and they'd get the cars going, the chassis going pretty fast. So anyway, the
George, when did you buy that car? I mean, it's interesting that, you know, you had that was about mid-60s then, right?
It was 1972.
Oh, 72. And how did you come across it?
Well, the car, my close friend, there were three of us from Elyria who got real interested in the Antique Automobile Club early on. And one was Pete Davey, who lives out on Delafield Road in Elyria. He now has a 1911 Flanders, which was built by Studebaker, which was built as a Studebaker offshoot. And Jerry Hicks. And Jerry's family owned an antique machine shop that they had built on Grafton Road with line drives and belted machinery, and the Garford engine that runs that ran the shop, it sits in my garage now. I have that. Ultimately, it's going to the Historical Society. But anyway, Jerry had a picture on his wall of a Garford automobile and this man sitting in it. The man was George Simmelman. I managed to find him. I called him, and he had been the chauffeur for both the Marshall Field family and the Potter Palmer family, and they had given him that Garford. And he told me different stories about it, that he couldn't get tires for it, and he was sitting at an American Legion 48 convention in South Bend, Indiana, and he was complaining to the fellow sitting next to him on a bar stool that he couldn't find tires for the car. And this man said, well, I think I can help you find tires. And he says, how are you going to help me find tires? And he shook his hand and says, I'm Harvey Firestone. So anyway, after that, the car was sold to an individual in Kansas named Ediger, and I had corresponded with him many times, and he didn't want to sell the car. Finally, I got a letter from his wife back and said her husband had been killed in an automobile accident and she was just looking for our name. So we got to Kansas, and we had to, the Kansas Turnpike still was gravel in places. So we had to buy the car for cash, and then we had to, she decided we needed a curved dash Oldsmobile that they had too. So she wanted to sell both cars at once. Well, we didn't have enough money with us to buy it, but I convinced him to call the president of our bank in Elyria and verify that I was good for it. Anyway, we brought a 1903 curved dash Oldsmobile back with us, and my friend Jerry said he wanted the car for a while, and then he asked me to sell it for him, and I did. I sold it to a guy named Burnham in Pittsburgh. The guy in Pittsburgh happened to have a letterhead. I knew it was somebody significant because it said One Mellon Triangle, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Here he was the chairman of the board of Westinghouse Electric Corporation. He gave the car to the Crawford Museum, and for a long time, the two cars that had sat side by side in a garage in Kansas sat across from each other in the museum. So, a lot of stories. But there's a lot, there's many other cars that were conceived of and built in Lorain County. One was the Carroll car.
Well, we're going to talk about that as well. George, you're a wealth of information, obviously, and I just want to make sure everyone knows that they're listening to the Auto Era, and that's 91.5 FM, WOBC Oberlin College and Community Radio. If anyone has any questions for George, you can call in at 440-775-8139. And we're going to... Well, George, let's hear some more of this interesting story.
Well, on the Carroll car, which was conceived and manufactured in Lorain, it was during the boom in automobiles after World War I, and then the subsequent bust because there was too much production. But it was a really interesting bodied car. There's only one we know of, and it's in the Swigert Museum in Pennsylvania. But it's a touring car, and I managed to acquire photographs of the plant and the test driver, a man with the interesting name of Scummy Wells.
He didn't invent the monkey wrench, did he?
He may have, Bernie. Those pictures appear in a book called Golden Wheels. And many of the car collectors already have that book, but it's Cars of Northern Ohio. And those pictures are credited with our photo collection, my wife and I, Marjorie, and our, says the George and Marjorie Strom photo collection. So anyway, the Carroll car lasted only a short time. There was a number of financial backers who took a loss on it because the bust after the big prosperity in automobiles took it out. It couldn't compete. Another interesting story that you might be interested in is that Margie and I, for 30 years ago, had bought a 1923 Jewett. Now, the Jewett was a car that was manufactured in Detroit, and we had sold the car and then wound up buying it back.
George, we just had a phone call in. I didn't patch it through the board, but Tony from Elyria just called and wanted to know how much actual restoration. I know we see that Garford Studebaker, those that have seen it at Crawford know that it's been fully restored, but how much restoration did you do on it, or was that donated prior to the restoration?
No, we restored the entire car mechanically to the original specifications. We had the former chief mechanic for White Motor Company at the time do it. So a man named Chalmers Stumpf, and he was a brilliant guy. His brother-in-law was one of the early car restorers in Lorraine, Skip Sippel. And they did a magnificent job. I didn't want to sell the car, but Lou Betcher took me on a plane ride one time to Portsmouth, Ohio, and said, I've had a dual purpose here. I want you to look at a Model T Ford built the year I was born and see what you think of it, and I want to buy the Garford. I said, Lou, I don't want to sell the Garford. But by the end of the day, and a couple of single malt scotches, we worked out a deal, and he wound up with a car. I was in charge of the restoration, and a little aside to that restoration, Mrs. Potter Palmer's favorite colors were mauve, and
my wife's favorite colors too,
and
lavenders,
various shades of it, and. We knew the car had originally been painted in those colors, so we were stumped as to what the shade was. Now, there is a picture of Mrs. Potter Palmer in the Palmer House Hotel at the entrance to the Empire Room showing her dressed all in mauve. So we managed to find an area underneath the front seat that was the correct color, and we had fade factor tests done on it. And we think the car has been restored to its original color, and it is exactly as the car was in the museum. I felt that it was the right place for the car to go because Margie and I don't have children, and we thought that it just would be. The future of the car was better served by selling it to Lou and letting him finish it. He was very generous when it won a national first at the great meet in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He asked me to go up and get the trophy. So I thought that was a very generous. He was a super individual, and we miss him and cherish his memory.
Well, that's Tony. I'm glad you called in and asked that question because that's some excellent information on that Garford Studebaker that George provided. Okay, you were getting into the Jewett automobile. That's a that's something that we want to talk about. Now, when you finished up with the Carroll, you said there was very, very low production. I believe there was only 200 made anyway, wasn't there?
Yes.
It was very, very low.
Very low. And as far as I know, there's only one that exists, and that's the one. It belonged to Bill Swigert at the mm-hmm. Swigert Automobile Museum. It's on display up there. It's painted green, and it's got a real elaborate California top body on it. It's a real fancy car. So it's worth seeing if you ever get in eastern Pennsylvania and want to take a little ride off the Pennsylvania Turnpike north. Swigert has quite a collection.
Well, we're going to take a little break now and hear a PSA announcement, and we're going to be back with some more of George Strum, our guest on the Auto Era. And this is WOBC Oberlin, 91.5 FM, Oberlin College and Community Radio.
Young Johnny Steele has an Oldsmobile. He loves a beautiful girl. She is the queen of his gas machine. She has his heart in a whirl. Now when they go for a spin, you know, she tries to learn the auto show. He lets her steer while he gets her ear and whispers soft and low. Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile. Down the road of life we'll fly, automobiling you and I. To the church we'll swiftly steal, then our wedding bells will
you like with me in my merry Oldsmobile? They love to spark in the dark old park as they go flying along. She says she knows why the motor goes, the sparker's awfully strong. Each day they spook till the engines kill, their honeymoon will happen soon.